All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tune in to Nasty Knuckles Podcast, the greatest podcast talking hockey and knuckles since podcasts were started.
You're listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws Podcast, with your hosts, Terry Nasty Suttermeyer and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What's happening, Nasty?
What's up, Regalia?
Are you making out? You recovered from our 3v3 tourney last week?
Groins are a little sore. I was feeling a little bit on Sunday night, but yeah, great time. Mr. Snyder's 3-on-3 tournament. We made it to the finals again. But this year was a little different. We lost, which is the same as last year, but we got shit kicked.
We got our ass whooped.
We had zero double D. Dandy.
Geez.
We needed a little devil dandy. We didn't have it.
No legs, no execution. A lot of turnovers.
Got to thank Reg and Anthony and TiVo and JD, George Davison, and you and me. We had a great time. Great day.
It was a great
day.
They
ran it really well. It was a lot of fun. Lauren Hart is the number one anthem singer in the NHL, but I would have just rather her come in the room and sing so we didn't have to sit there an extra hour and a half to wait. For that. It was kind of cool having her sing the anthem where I'm on the blue line, but you've done that before. Pigeons haven't.
It was neat, but after a game four, like, I'm just gassed. I was just like, let's just play the game right now.
Dude, how good can she sing? Like, she's so good, man.
Belts it out. Like it was a playoff game of some sort.
But I went into I went into the other room, and I said to the guys, I was like, hey, like, you guys want to go ahead and play? There's an open rink, you know, because they had the three, and they were like, oh, we gotta wait because Lauren's come to sing. And I said, well, if we have her sing to us right now,
all of us, can we
do that? They're like, I don't think it works that way. I was like, oh, but it was a cool event, cool day, a lot of fun, suck losing. But those guys beat us fair and square.
Oh, yeah, they did.
They beat us fair and square, and they beat us like a drum.
Oh, my God.
Like
that's
a drum.
Like a bongo.
It was bad.
Every turnover was in the net.
Yeah.
We couldn't do anything.
No
execution. But all good.
Yeah, it was good. Fun. And you bailed on your teammates again on Sunday.
What was in your driving, old neck of the woods?
You know, Cuddles Cote driving down the North Kakalaki. I mean, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. You're a good man. You're a good man. Doing something nice. So still a little pissed, but we managed to win.
Yep.
G-note, two helpers. Not a big deal. I don't know who's counting, but...
Certainly not
pretty,
me.
Pretty sick. Well, I guess not, because you weren't there. No, it was fun. We had a good game Sunday against Matt Elf. Bunch of good dudes. Other than that, brother?
Three games deep, Flyers. Yep.
Three games deep, 2-1. Looked really good last night.
Yes. It was a strong performance.
Very strong. Rick Tocchet from Vancouver, the head coach. We were supposed to go down and have a little sit down with him, which would have been awesome.
Damn Phillies, push the game back at 6 p.m.
Yeah, they had to change the time, so it kind of screwed our day up, but we'll catch him next time. Yeah. But he wasn't pleased with his team's performance after the game. You know, he just said we were outworked, which they were. Nice to see Coots. He gets a goal, his first goal in almost 2 years, close to 2 years. Big Z, Zamula.
Let's talk about Coots' goal.
Well, little penalty shot. Looked like you with that skill.
Yeah, looked like me.
You in St. Louis. I saw him do that move last year. I think Baller may have posted that. But sick move, man.
Yeah, man. That's ballsy.
I guess as a goalie, you don't know if they're going to fire it with the back. I don't know.
Well, that's it. It's just kind of smoke and mirrors. You don't know what the hell he's going to do, right?
Yeah. Julian Brown lives with me, one of my billet kids, and he said that his sons do that move.
Mm.
St. Louis. Yeah, I guess he's played against them. But anyway, yeah, great move. Great goal. Was nice.
Nice to see that. Yeah. You mentioned Zamula.
Yeah, Zamula getting his first goal. Great patience. Waited for the forward sliding by.
That's hard to teach.
Yeah.
Or you can't teach that. I think that's the gift right there.
I was happy for him. He's such a good guy. Such a happy dude since the day he got here.
Yeah,
you know?
That was nice.
If it wasn't for Demko, that score could have been 7-0, and I'm dead serious too.
He was
being
sprawling.
Kind,
yeah,
he made some
sprawling
as well as Carter Hart played, getting his sixth career shutout, which was nice. I think 25 shots on that. He played great. Demko was unreal.
Yeah,
like because that game was, I think, way more lopsided. Obviously, you could see that with the shots, but it was a good game, man. They played hard. They were hard to play against. They played fast.
Yep.
So it's nice. They're 2-1. You know, we don't want to get too excited. We know what's happened before when we get excited.
But it's
fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to be happy with the start, and you just got to be happy with the direction it's going. You're going to have a nice little test tomorrow.
Yep. That's a fast team.
It's a fast team. I like what I'm seeing. You know, you got, again, we talk about this, you know, with Coots back, adds a whole other dimension. Cam and some of these young guys stepping their game up. They look like a team. They look like a legitimate team.
Yep.
So I think the fans should be happy. I think obviously the coaching staff's got to be pleased with what they're seeing, the effort, the intensity.
Yep.
It'd be a nice little test for them against the Oil, but
yep.
I mean, every game's going to be a test,
every
obviously.
Every game's a test in this league, for sure.
So.
All right.
Are we ready to rock your nest?
Are we ready?
You're not ready.
I'm ready. We got our boy Fridge coming into the house.
Oh, yeah. Fridgey. 3.0.
3.0. New job. I'm going to ask him about it
here. Let's go. Here we go. Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer. And this week, we have our good friend of the show, veteran of 545 NHL hockey games, a lot here with your Flyers, the new color commentator for the Philadelphia Flyers radio broadcast. Congratulations, Todd Fedoric. What's up, brother?
Not much. Thanks. Thanks. It was a nice intro. Yeah, the new radio color analyst. A storied seat goes back all the way to the days of Gene Hart. I've been talking about this stuff too. Yeah, I'm happy about the job. I'm really actually ecstatic about it. It's big shoes to fill in Coatsy. It's a personality type of role, but you get to talk Flyers hockey at an important time in Flyers hockey.
Yeah, for sure. And being there back for every game, I know you probably get the juices flowing. You know, like watching the game. And, I was thinking, Riles, about Fridge. Like last night I'm at the game, you know, I got Elvis and kids there with me, Chris and Julian. And, And I'm like, I wonder if Fridge gets wound up there. If there's going to be a time where something happens, he's going to be like rolling his, you know, his dress shirt off. Yeah, drinking coffee. Torch, you sure you don't need me coming down there on that line with D-Lo?
Yeah, I do.
I can just see it. But no, congratulations, man. And like you said, it's a perfect fit. Like I couldn't think of anything better for you, honestly. Just, you know, the game you played your whole life, and it's pretty cool to see there. And you have a great personality, and you're taking over for a guy who obviously had a great personality in Steve Coates. So like, what's it been like so far? Is it hard? Is I know it's obviously different.
It's been an easy process because of the people that are already there. I mean, Timmy Saunders has been tremendous. Just his ability to call the game in the manner that he has, I'm familiar with it. And then Coates, he's been calling me every day, just helping me with stuff. And then look who I've got as guys that are mentors, like Keith Jones, Brian Boucher is involved now. So, all good guys, just kind of giving you their points. But at the end of the day, it's, you got to trust what you know. And that's any player can do it if you're comfortable doing it. And I think I'm just going to keep learning the first year. And radio is a little different. I did have experience with some TV, some reps in Allentown with the Phantoms. And it helped actually for this, because a lot of those players, Farabee, Frost, even Carter Hart, they were down there when I was doing that. That's right. So the familiarity of that, and I'm enjoying it. Enjoying it. You're back in the rink. You're. I think that's what I like more about it is being around the like when you lose, it's bad. Yeah. You know, and I feel that, and I am that way too. Like, you don't talk after, you don't get on the phone, and all those little nuances that I forgot. You know, I forgot that I missed that. You know, because your life when you're playing, it's based on wins and losses, sure. Right? And you're kind of, as the radio, you're not in that, but you got to act accordingly. Right, you know, it's all about the athletes, it's all about the players, and you know, this is their dream, right? So you're kind of around that. Keep it a dream, right? Keep it a dream for those young guys that are just getting there. And, you know, it's good to be a part of that too. Cause I remember what it was like having your first game, and it's honestly an honor to talk about it for the kids. I knew my mom, she loved it. She loved hearing on the radio. So that's, you know, I take that approach too, is like, remember who you're talking to when you're doing it. And yeah, it's, I enjoy it. I enjoy it. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But what's been the biggest adjustment for you?
Timmy's, Saunders obviously does the play-by-play, and he's the show, you know, he's the one that he does has to do a lot. They got to remember a lot. They got to memorize everybody's names constantly, and, you know, he's got his whole process, and I don't want to disrupt that, right? And then he's so good at what he does is that he'll actually lead me in at certain times, or he'll break at certain times, and then you put your two cents in and out. So it's something, I guess, the more you do it, the better you get at it. And I mean, I don't know, like, I don't sit there, and it's not like we go out over tape the next day.
Right.
It's just like, if someone says I'm doing good, it's like, great. I appreciate it. So I want to sound good.
Yeah.
You know, I want to sound, you know, good because of the fans. They care about it.
You know?
And they're good fans here. So they understand. They understand the game. You know, they understand when you're explaining it, they can kind of draw it up for themselves. So yeah, I guess the ability to talk is finally paying off for me.
It's awesome. I had a question about when you're on, when you're live, that's another thing, like, it's live, man. Yeah. Like, you know, you got to be ready at all times. But do you guys have someone in your ear? Like, do you hear other people talking, like, that are doing their whole production?
There's
part?
A whole,
does that bother you? Did it take some time?
Yeah.
Because I've heard that it's like, you got two, you know, you got someone talking, and you're trying to think about what you're getting ready to say. You know, like, that's got to be difficult, man.
It is to talk. You can turn them down. They get knobs.
Yeah.
They got knobs.
Is that when you're doing your check one, check?
Yeah, I go, and they're like, they're volume knobs. I don't know why I do that. It's a habit. And they're like, woo.
They tell you to stop. They say stop.
But they're in the background, and they're saying things, and it can distract you if you, like, I'm getting used to it. The first couple times you hear that, they come in and you're like,
where are
right
they
now? Yeah. But they're giving you cues on when to come in and stuff like that. I think Timmy listens a lot more than I do. And then I listen to Timmy, but you can turn them down too, but it's cool. They put sounds from the ice into the game, into the feeds and stuff. So we hear that. So you're like, you can hear the guys. Cool. Yeah, it's cool. You can pick it up. And even on the radio, when they play it broadcast, you pick up the anthem at the start. And so they do a good job at that. I wasn't aware of how much actually went into it in the back end, like to get all the sounds of the game in there. And it makes a difference. Like, yeah. There's a couple of preseason games we didn't have any of the background noises because they mic up the whole rink.
Right.
And you can hear everything. So there's people in that truck hitting buttons to block out certain.
Right.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because
yeah.
there's in there a few language, second delay.
Language. Yeah, there's a little bit of a delay, not much, but it's obviously for broadcast reasons, I think. But yeah, there's a lot of people that are, like, I guess you call them in the truck. I never know where they are. I'm going to go find them one day.
I know where that
is. You know, bring them some cookies and stuff like that. But there's a lot that goes into the production, and they make it easy for us to really, you know, deliver the game. And it's easy to get excited. Like, I'm a fan, too. Yeah, like, right. I'm a fan of the Flyers, and it's hard not to be biased. And at the NHL, it's nice to talk about other good players, too, like, from around the league. Like, right. The skill set, like, you know, again, like I said, I'm a fan, but, you know, what these players are doing in today's game at the rate of the speed that they're doing. And
yeah.
The game is exciting, and it's also getting a little bit that workman-style approach is starting to turn into every team's approach again, which was, I think, not there for previous seasons because of changes or whatever it was. Playoffs were always something different than the regular season. Yeah. And I think maybe just because of the progression of the game or whatever, you missed something. And a lot of coaches are kind of preaching that, let's work to generate everything. And I know that that's what's happening here in Philadelphia. Yeah. It's a big message of work first and generate everything off of work. And
yeah, well, obviously we've only played 3 regular season games, but talking about work, it last night, I mean, they totally outworked Vancouver. Even Tuck said after, he goes, we got outcompeted, we just got outplayed. And you could see it.
Yeah.
Last night it was easy to see.
I fully agree. I think, yeah, that game last night was probably, especially in the second. In the second, it was all Flyers. It was probably the best period that they played this year, I think. Regular season, that's the type of hockey they're going to have to play. So they're faster than most people think. And you don't see that maybe on the rush, but you see it in defense, right? And I know they're fast because they're stopping some of the fastest teams, right? So that means they're able to generate or stop the gaps, right? They're able to get up and cause takeaway time and space from fast teams. That shows me that they're quick themselves. And then you're seeing some other guys with deceptive speed in the lineup. Bobby Brink's one of them.
But everyone's just saying, oh, he can't skate. Like, I watched him last night. I'm like, I don't see that he can't. I mean, when they say he can't skate, they mean the speed. But he looked pretty quick to me last night.
He separates himself quickly. He's at full speed quickly, I think. And that's what – and he's quick. Yeah, I don't know where that came from. But it helped him because now everybody's saying he's actually deceptively quick. And I think it's his takeoff speed. He's got one or two strides and you're away from him. He's small.
Yeah.
And he knows how to use his size to his advantage. I don't know if he knows that. He's so young.
Yeah.
You know, I think 22, but still a guy that throughout camp was, I guess, if you want to muse for a coach that says, you're going to get what you earn and we're going to give you what you earn each day throughout camp. And he's to a man, he kind of did that. Tortorella implemented that approach. And Bobby Brink, like, I watched all the preseason. I was there for the camps. He was that guy. Like, he's working hard. He's getting better. And then he got a little bit of an opportunity. He did good with that opportunity. Mm-hmm. Like, good for Bobby Brink, but it kind of sends a message to the whole team. That's a truthful message, too, because all those players, they're excited for a guy that does well. I know I was as a player. You're excited for a young guy that's, no, man, he's doing it. Look at him go, and he keeps getting better. And last night, as icing on the cake, he had some nice plays.
Yeah, he did.
And he's generating plays as well. So the puck's following him around. I'm high on him right now, too.
Yeah. No, because, you know what? It's funny
because
you
I like
said
these
that.
Stories that's, in hockey.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's true. Like it's good for the team, too. right? It's really good for the team that we're having any player that's coming out of a shining star or something like that, but just doing good. You can rally around it. So hopefully the team feels that too. I think they probably would. Bobby seems like a pretty good kid, and I'm happy that he's doing well. I hope he sticks and stays, and that pushes some of the guys absolutely that might think that they're there, and you want that in any team. You want that in any locker room. And again, I mean, there's I'm obviously biased, but there's a lot of good things to talk about with the Philadelphia Flyers that I don't think is necessarily talked about in the league and at the national level. And, with Coots and Atkinson back, we're an unassuming team.
I agree.
So fine,
that, sure.
We'll take it all year. Bush actually spoke to this in one of our broadcast roundtables that we do, which is fun too. But he talked about that because he's on the national stage a little bit more. So you're hearing more of the tones of conversation of what other teams and franchises are doing and how they look. And I don't think we've gotten enough respect, at that level. People are writing us off a little early. That's fine. We're underdog. We know where we're at. We're rebuilding. Second year of a rebuild. So, but we could be one of those teams that are, if we're not disrupting and wrecking people's shot at the playoffs, we might be right there at the end too. So
we talked about that last week. We kind of – that was actually a great question we had last week. What if you are right there? And, obviously the Flyers are in this rebuilding mode, which we've expected to be 2 to 3 years, right? Honestly, 3 years probably with Danny. That's kind of the number he threw out. But we talked about we had a question, what do you do? Do you add players? Do you try to make the team better?
Yeah.
And, I saw one of the someone responded on one of the posts that Baller had put up, and they said, no, you don't, because you don't want to go to the playoffs and win one round, and give away some assets. But at the same time, we all know, Fridge, you've won. You get in, you never know. But I understand where we are.
Yes.
But anyway, back to the point.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're in management or you're Danny and Jonesy and comes down to the end of the year, say trade deadline or whatever, and you're 4 points in, 5 points in, what do they do?
Oh, I know.
Because you have some pieces that teams will probably want,
sure,
like Stahl, older veteran players. Obviously you don't want to give your kids away, but there's probably going to be times where people want these players. What do you do if you're right there?
That's a big management question, and that's a different scenario. I'm thinking about that. I'm flip-flopping. In my old, if I was playing, and that's the context I'm going to draw it from, that's a no-go. Stick with it. Stick with the rebuild. Don't sell the farm and go after it, because it wasn't that environment for the game.
Right.
Now, there's so many upsets, and it's about getting in.
That's it.
So, yeah, that's a different dynamic in today's game. So you might have to go after it, depending. It all depends on how they get to you and how, because the rebuild they're saying is 5 years, right?
Yeah.
And if you're in your second, third year and you got a shot, do you go after it, sell the farm? Because if you don't hit, guess what you're doing? You're starting to rebuild again.
Yeah.
So if the message is trust the process, guess what? You guys are the group we're going to stick with. You're going to get this experience. If we win, we win. We don't, we're doing it next year, and we're going to continue to go. There's both ways you can look at it. So, I don't know. That's a tough question, man, because I think you can win in today's game by getting in. And
never know.
Yeah.
Never know.
Glad I'm not the GM.
Yeah, right. That was a great question we had it last week. And it is.
Let's take some callers.
It's Debo. The lights are—they're buzzing there. Answer those.
I wanted to do that. I want to do that on the radio. I want to take some callers. Timmy, let's go to the lines.
Mid game.
Let's take some callers.
We got Debo.
I'd ask guys to call in for sure.
That'd be
a great addition to the show.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
This is my friend.
Real time.
Yeah.
So we talked about this too. One of the moves right before the season started was Wade Allison getting sent down. Did you see that coming?
Not really. No, because he had played and He's got a really good shot too. Yeah, and I heard he was a guy in the locker room that was well liked.
He's an awesome guy.
Yeah, awesome, funny guy. You want those guys in there, and but again, that's one of those guys. Like, there's guys that had to make the team. There's guys, and that's every year. I don't know where he was in that shuffle. I know he had some injuries, but I mean, he had some young guys on his heels, and going down and up right now with this team. Part of it's coaching, part of it's development, part of it's they want you, right? They're going to need you.
Yeah.
That's what I think any player right now with the Flyers organization needs to understand, that it's not a going down to the minors, it's reserves, right? They're going to need interchangeable pieces all year, because young guys are going to be young guys. They're going to have hiccups. They're not going to do well, and they may need time down there, right?
Right.
So, and that's never a bad thing. Right, it's never a bad thing to go down, but it as a player, it sucks.
It sucks. Yeah.
It's a step back, but you got to have the right approach, man. And the good thing is, he's got guys like Scotty Laughton to lean on.
Yeah.
I never seen a guy handle going down in a situation
better. Oh my god!
You know, that was a couple of years ago. It's probably forgotten now, but that was the way that he handled that. I was calling the games up there. Mm-hmm. I was color then, and I was worried for a guy because he was involved. Like, he was a player. Like, he had earned his pick, and this is my opinion, but there was some cap stuff, there was some things going on, right, that were out of players' control, and he handled it like a champ,
pro. Yeah,
like a major pro. He got better, he got he got
the best attitude.
He did, man. He got better in every area of his game that they called him out in.
Oh, totally.
Yeah,
and that's what you want. Like, fine, I hear you. You're not. You don't think I'm that good of a skater. Look at him fly now.
Yeah,
you
know. He did it with love a smile on his face. Too,
yeah, with
I was
a
still
smile.
Coaching there. Yeah, and he was like, you talk about a
big fan of Scotty Laughton.
Yeah, huge fan.
Big fan of him. It's good. He's going to be a guy.
Love him.
Yeah,
having that locker room. So, you know, guys like that are going to help. You know, guys like Wade, because he did well. You know, he did well in camp.
I was shocked. I don't know if shock's the word, but I was a little surprised by it.
But there was, that's the thing. There's other guys that are doing well too. And they're also saying that, you know, if you're a younger player, you know, and you're maybe in your sophomore years and whatnot, you're still a young player in your developmental years. We're not going to not develop someone because of you, right? So it's like, no one's really in the game, in the lineup. No one's really solidified in there. And the younger guys are in the development years. You're going to have to be coming in and out. And Torts has been pretty honest with that from the start and the get-go. Add some pressure, right? Maybe some undue pressure. Guys don't know, but then you know. As a coach, you know who's going to be able to handle that stuff. So, Morgan Frost came out last night.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You know? So I'm sure that's the coach's decision. There's reason to it, and
he didn't look happy.
Yeah,
which I don't blame him. You don't want him to be happy. Exactly. I'm sure don't want to play a home opener.
I think
felt bad.
You let your play speak for itself, and not like he was playing bad. But you know, if you want to stand out, you know, Bobby Brink stood out last night.
He did.
You know, and I'm not comparing them. They're different positions that they play, but it's a dynamic of the youth and the development that I think the coaching staff is trying to implement. Right, it's hard to play in this league,
right.
And you've got to perform. And that's a good lesson to learn. It's just how he's going to manage it. Morgan Frost, we need you.
He is
a skillsy player, he can create stuff too. Like, I'd even like to see him and Brink together.
Yeah,
you know. Thank God I'm not a coach, but
yeah,
you know, seeing it from up there, you know, I seen Frost down in the minors too. He can, he can dangle. He's one of those special players, and he'll find it up here. Find it up here. He's got the staff around him. He's got coaches around him, support around him. So I like to see how he responds when he gets back in. And maybe he got hurt. Who knows? We don't even know why he came out.
Yeah, that's true. You know? He did warm up, though.
Yeah.
So I had heard. Well, I don't know. Elvis told me. I saw something on Twitter, and it said Coots was out. So we're getting ready to leave, and Dad.
Yeah, it was game time.
Elvis says to me, Dad, Coots is playing. Frosty's out. And I'm like, what? I'm like, why? He's like, I don't know, man, but I'm just telling you. because he had seen it on the thing. I was like, okay. And then I see Frosty warming up, and I'm like, oh, good, he's in. But he obviously got scratched. So anyway, you're right. It's coaches, you know, like Torts likes doing that too. He likes he would keep guys on their toes, yeah, right? Like he definitely does that, and he's going to squeeze the most out of every player that he can. So.
You got to keep these guys honest. I mean, you know, I think it's easy to get complacent. You know, like again, like Allison, not saying he was, or even Frosty for that matter, but the room for error is so small, and there's so much competition for these roster spots that a guy like Allison is going to go down, he's going to have a good attitude, and hopefully he can refine his game a little bit. Maybe remember he talked about this last time when he was on with us? It's just like controlling his body more, maybe less injuries, maybe it's just like more of that rounded game. Maybe Frosty, you can just take one little thing from his last game and you know bring it to his next game when he's back in the lineup. But it's as long as these guys are learning the lessons, they'll come back better and stronger. And,
yeah, it's a tactic, not a punishment.
Yeah, it's not a punishment at all. Yeah, exactly.
It's a tactic, not a punishment. It obviously sucks for any player to
Everyone wants to play.
But as long as you learn a lesson. Take it as an opportunity, as a challenge. And that's
a challenge.
It'll make you better for it. Like, it's pretty common sense, these things that you're faced with. And other coaches do different things, you know?
Yeah.
I think this is one Torts has been saying from the start that he's going to do.
Yeah.
If you do what we want and provide a level of play, a standard. You know, you've been hearing the rumblings of the standard and implementing and doing certain things to build a certain style of play. It's the best time to do it is implement it now.
Right.
Learn your mistakes early, Wade going down at the start of the year.
Yeah, exactly.
Get back up and show them why, right? Yeah. And then the same with Frost. Show them why, right? Show them why you're one of our picks. Show them why we believe in you. Show them why we're putting you. Because it's got to be hard for the coaches, too. They got to make these decisions to pull you out. Two-way street, guys, right? And I think today's game, that is more of an open conversation between coaches and players too, right? Like there's a little bit more of a nurturing brand to the coaching that actually has an effective impact on players.
Yeah.
It's not that power hungry, mongering type of fear based approach and I have control over your career. It's like, I want to see you shine, kid. I want to see, and this is hard. It's going to get hard as we get down closer to playoffs. And then when playoffs turn on, guess what? It's the hardest thing to do in all professional sports.
Yeah,
the Stanley Cup.
That's the truth, right?
So, like, all of these things learned early are, you know, they're systematic. These guys are thinking about this 24/7.
Oh, right? Totally.
Like, they're in that mix, and hopefully that all of the players respond the right way and understand. And it's helpful if you have the support of the group, the team, the locker room, which is a whole new dynamic this year.
Yeah.
You subtract two or three guys, those two or three guys might be suppressing or might be overpowering to another person's voice, right? Or another person's leadership style or approach. You take them out, the whole room changes. The whole dynamic of the room changes. And Tortorella actually alluded to that. And, you know, they're really big on that. And you guys like Rocky Thompson in there. That's a true locker room guy. You got other, you know, guys that understand how important that, how you have to bond in there. And then Coots, veterans, you got the right Lawton in there. You got a good mix of veterans. And you got some swagger guys too, like Konechny.
Yeah.
You know? That locker room is going to be tighter and tighter and tighter this year.
I agree.
Morgan and all those guys that are going through this stuff, look to your veterans. You have veterans in that room. You know, that's a good dynamic, right?
Yeah.
It's not all young guys.
That's right.
There's some good veterans in there. Stahl, Walker, come in. Hathaway, D'Lo.
Yeah,
like, I wait till we start talking about those guys.
Yeah.
Like those, that's my favorite line. I love
PhD.
Them all. PhD line. Right? Uh-huh. And that's going to stick.
Oh, you know it is.
Yeah.
Didn't Danny come up with that?
Danny came up with the PhD.
Yeah.
Good job, PhD. Sneaks. That's a good
Every
one.
Every championship team will tell you one of the best things that they have is the league's best fourth line.
Yeah.
Right. Oh,
every have single, it. You need
Dude,
them.
That's so necessary. True. Yeah. So true.
And it gives you balance.
You know, I was just thinking of when you brought up Rocky Thompson was – Do you remember where we were when you got called up for your first NHL game? You remember we were on the road with the Phantoms. Do you remember? We were in Louisville, Kentucky. So
smell
they
like,
have
smell like horse shit in there.
Rocky Thompson and Brent Thompson, right? Oh. The two numbnuts there. Yeah. He gets called up. And I think this is the same year. So I'll never forget. Fridge's like, forget the word, Billy tells me. And I go into Fridge and he's like, my skates, man. Something's going on with skates. I'm like, you haven't said shit about your skates since I met you. And now there's like, so I don't know, man, but so you got to do this, you got to do that. I'm just laughing. I'm like, hey, you're fine, bro. Like, you probably won't be back with us. It's like, yeah. So you're good. But anyway, what I was going to say was Rocky and Tom. So who?
Oh, I had Graf skates. Yes. I had Graf skates and you couldn't wear them.
It was something weird.
Something with the NHL.
But he.
Sponsorship.
Rocky and, oh, well. Right. Smoking Joe Patterson's coaching Louisville.
Oh, okay, right.
Okay, so he's gone now. I think you play with Lessard, right?
Yeah, Frankie. Was the same year. Frankie was there.
So Frankie's the only guy on the ice, and we've got our check lines out there: Pletka, Hubacek, and Divisek, and then Frankie and someone else. They drop the puck. Everybody's gloves come off. They pound these three checks. Oh. So, I mean, Rocky included, and Tomer, Brent Thompson, two people.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? You know that joke, two people?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not going to say it because I don't want them to beat me up. But anyway, they start fighting. They're killing our guys. Everybody's like, what is going on here? And they push Frankie Lessard off in one corner, and they get Tomer off in the other corner. These two dummies walk, and they fight right on the cement, and there is a cameraman in the stands right above them, and we're all – everyone in the building's like this, and they're just sparks flying. They're toe-to-toe. But Rocky started that whole thing. Oh, I know he remembers, so you got to bring that up to him in Louisville. I'm sure he'll remember.
Oh, sure.
But it was crazy.
He's a Golden Glove boxer.
He's a tough dude.
Man, he's lean. Oh, like, yeah, he's real lean, yeah. I saw a picture last night, Fridgy. I was with some of the Warriors last night. And who showed it to me? I think Faust showed it to me. There's a picture of you with all the Warriors from like 3 years ago. You have a suit on, dude. Clean shave, short hair. What a sharp dress, man.
Yeah, looking you like good. It?
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
You see this?
Yeah. This guy's all over me.
Why?
The shave beard. The beard.
Just what's wrong with that? Trim it.
I think it looks nice.
He's a professional.
Yeah, he's professional.
Can I have a beard and be a professional?
You can. I just like when you're like clean.
Some frosty tips?
Clean cut. I don't have frosty tips. Fridgy, you had frosty tips before.
I had frosty tips.
Yeah, he had some real frosty tips.
Yeah.
His hair was white when I met him, and it was this long.
Yeah.
It was long, man.
I lost a bet. That, when it was long like that. I thought you were a
surfer. I'm like, this guy's from Cali for sure. I think I told the story the first time you came on.
His hair down to here.
Oh, his hair was down to here.
Bleach blonde.
And I look over. We're having lunch. Me and Turk are having lunch. I think Rusty Pearl was with us. I think. Or maybe Hedgehog. Oh, yeah, Rusty.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, with Hedgehog, too. We're having lunch.
Yep.
We got a team meeting at 5. We're in Peterborough, Roger Nielsen. And I look over, and we're all four sitting there, Luke Richardson and Danny McGillis gave us some money. They're like, hey, boys, go get some lunch and some dinner on us tonight. And we're like, oh, thanks. We go down to this bar. We grab some food. And it's like 2 in the afternoon. And I look over, and this guy's sitting there having a whiskey and a fucking dart. And I'm like, man, this poor guy, he's had a tough day, you know? Like, I'm like, he's just
right off the ring.
Well, no, I'm like, no. I'm like, oh, he must – he looks like he's from California or something, like a surfer, but he's probably just here at lunch. He's working and, you know, wherever. Fuck, we go to the meetings. Here this guy comes walking out. I'm like, hey, you guys remember that guy who was having a dart and a fucking whiskey? It's Fridgy. And then so meet Fridgy. I'm like, okay. And then you see him play.
Welcome to training camp.
Oh, shit. This guy
I was
can
only
skate.
18.
Oh, man. He could skate. I always say, like, he was big, heavy, but as you know, fucking fast. Obviously running guys through the fucking wall. And I'm like, well, I guess he wasn't having that bad of a day. He was just starting her off or whatever. Right. But, oh, man, I'll never forget that. It's like, oh, man.
I was with a couple other older guys.
Yeah.
They
were
took
you?
Me there. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Sandy McCarthy.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Yeah.
You got misled.
Yeah.
You're misled.
Yeah. Yeah, that they're like, come with us.
It happens.
You know, they were fighters, so I was like, oh, I will go fight too.
Yeah.
Follow them.
Well, you know what's funny? I remember that.
Fancy finding you here.
You said that because Lessard and Big Sandy fought, and Lessard
did
really
camp.
Well.
Yep.
I don't think Sandy expected this guy to come at him like that. I mean, he was just, you know, Frankie just went, oh, just nonstop. He would take him to throw him. Somebody else that would do that. And, so, Sandy, they get 5 minutes because all we were doing was playing games. They had the four teams like Clark used to like to do for camp.
Yeah.
And then they went in the box 5 minutes and they came out and Sandy had undone his thing. He wanted to go in. They fought again and Frankie did good again.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to Billy, is this guy going to be with us? He's like, oh yeah.
I'm
like,
he is now.
Woo-hoo. Yeah. Yeah. We had Coupel.
Gary Coupel.
He was the guy I told you about who got banned from hockey.
Yeah.
But he came to camp.
They brought guys in for camp to fight each other in camp.
He fights Woody.
We need a couple of guys. Just we need some meat.
Yeah.
We need some meat just to get through camp.
Yeah, we need meat. So he's out there. He's playing on Eric's team, Coupel, because they're afraid he's going to club somebody because he'd already been banned for clubbing a guy.
Yeah.
He goes out, and Woody's like, hey, let's go. They fight literally right in front of me, and all you hear is this flash. Just this poor Coop gets in the box like nothing happened. He's got knots all over his head. He can't get his helmet on. He hands me his helmet. I open it up. He had the old CCM helmet on, right?
Yeah.
Gets it on. He's like, pulls it on. I tighten the screws, and then Woody's sitting over there, Steve McLaren. He goes, Coop, he goes, that wasn't a good one for me. Let's go again. Like, okay.
Yeah.
So they get out and go again. This poor bastard.
Yeah. I didn't hit you enough. I didn't hit you enough times.
I only hit you 20 times. Let me hit you some more. This poor guy's like, okay. And okay. They did it again. Yeah.
Steve McLaren, right?
Yeah, Steve McLaren.
Woody.
Stone Cold Woody. We had a couple nicknames.
Looked like
for
Woody
him.
Harrelson with a massively bad broken nose.
Massively. Remember when Scott Parker broke his nose? Were you with us at that point? Were
is that
you
Hershey?
No, I seen that one.
It's on YouTube. He hits him with a bomb, and then Woody just goes bananas.
Yeah.
He literally shook it off. Like, his nose was powder. Like, I mean, it was gone.
Yeah.
He came in, and he was looking in the mirror, and he's like, oh, my God. It was bad. It was bad. It was like, oh, God.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was already broken before.
And then he just
it was
came
bad.
Times.
Woody jumped when he threw.
Oh,
like, he threw so
he
hard his feet
would
hit the ice. Yeah, yeah, and he was tough.
If he landed one, like a flush one, it usually was nighty-night Jim Kite for the other
guy. Nighty-night Jim Kite.
Anyway, yeah.
Just, Segway.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Segway back down history.
Yeah.
Memory lane.
Sure.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Yeah. Well, thanks for reminding us.
I had to. I just thought of
pull
it because it was Fridge's first camp.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, it was a different game then.
Like
it,
I say, I have trying rookie seasons.
Yeah.
I was 18 straight off the farm. Yeah.
Played I'm thinking here you are before. From Cali. Yeah. So a surfer, he's right off the farm.
Yeah, right.
Well, Homer told me to cut my hair when I got here because it was long.
It was
aggressive.
Long. I didn't know. I was naive, not disrespectful.
You know, right?
Yeah.
But here they took it as disrespect, and I I was funny too. Homer asked me to get a haircut. He goes, cut that.
Yeah.
He didn't, you know, it's explicit of. He said, cut that hair. And I didn't cut it the next day. And because he would walk through in the morning, right? The brass would walk through and they'd go up. This was at the old Coliseum, and this is in summertime, so it was rookie camp. The next day he comes in, he stops, and I'm messing around, having fun with the guys, making everybody laugh, which I love to do. He goes, I thought I told you to cut that hair.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, he was serious. I'm like, yeah, man,
serious.
Go cut this. I think it was Rusty. He's like, there's a barber right there, and this right by the hotel where you guys are staying. Go and get your haircut. I said, I'll go show him. I'll get my haircut. Is he telling me to cut my hair? So I got, Homer has a buzz cut, like a straight top buzz cut. Yeah. Yep. I got the exact same haircut as him. I got the exact same haircut, like I got a buzz cut.
You had that for a while.
I did, yeah.
I had a buzz cut, and then sure enough, and I didn't know Homer at the time, right? And I was like, do you like my haircut? The next morning. And no, like the most stoic face I've ever seen. Yeah. He was not happy about it. he just didn't nod or anything. I was just like, keep your mouth shut, kid. You're a rookie camp. He's one of the. That's how things started for me with Paul Holmgren. Yeah, he made me cut my hair. Yeah, it was long. I was.
Oh, I remember how long it was. So long,
man. He used to say that to me once in a while. He'd be like, he wouldn't say, go cut your hair. He'd be like, hey, you probably need a haircut, don't you? I knew what that meant. Oh, yeah. All right, I guess I do.
You don't want to look like a slob, and I looked like a slob.
He told me to lose some LBs one summer. So you're looking a little chubby there, Rob.
You say, well, hey, listen, man, ask go to fucking BK late night. Don't mess up our BK.
Yeah, I know.
Burger King, we've said it 100 times, but we'd be going out somewhere. We'd pass, we'd get on the highway on 42, and there's a Burger King. I'm like, we're not stopping there tonight. Nope, not a chance. Come home. Riggs pulling the BK.
Let's go.
Two whoppers, fries, milkshake.
Mayonnaise and bacon, cheese.
Don't remind me.
Double whopper.
Oh, well, God. Everybody does
it. Everybody does it. It's the worst.
He's like a bird now.
Well,
good. I wish I had that straight.
He probably hasn't eaten in 2 days. Spamershare, yeah. He's like,
going strong.
I remember Tommy, masseuse Tommy one time went through this. Like fast, it was like for somebody, and he only ate
40
like,
days, right?
It was something without water. Great, no, it was
no,
no, yeah. He had apple.
No, you die,
yeah.
He only had water and like two apples a day for I don't know how long it was, but it was a little bit. And I remember not seeing him for like a week, and then I saw him like the next weekend. I was like, what the fuck just happened to you, man? He's like, oh, I'm doing that fast. I'm like, dude, eat something, man. You don't look right. I mean,
yeah, he probably looked gaunt. Yeah,
he didn't look right.
It's healthy for you. I heard the fasting is healthy for you. It's something that our bodies used to do a long time ago, I guess.
Yeah, well, fasting is a huge part of our culture. Well, yeah, it depends. As long as it's mindful and done appropriately. Done
probably. But, he did not look well.
But yeah, I'm more of the starving variety. Yeah, I can't eat for like 3 days. I just ate a whole cow.
Yeah. But it doesn't sound too dangerous if he's drinking water and eating apples.
It doesn't. No. But he didn't look.
No, well, he's losing weight, right?
But so fast.
Yeah, like, so fast.
It's like crazy.
It happens.
But anyway, it does. A little cleanse. I know. A little cleansy.
You never fasted before?
On Sunday. I do it every day.
Every day?
Well, just about.
After the milkshake?
I didn't have a milkshake. Fuck this guy, Fridge. You ever spin around someone that makes you feel guilty for eating? Like, you can't eat around Riggs.
Why?
I know why. You look at them laughing. They know. Oh, yeah.
I want to be,
Debo, you're
I
really
gonna
be eat
around
that piece
him.
Of pie?
I don't say that.
Oh, baller.
Give me
oh,
a
you
break.
Eat that cake?
I want to be around him so it rubs off, just so I can copy it.
You're asking me for advice, and I'm saying, well, maybe gas the milkshake. And then
I just had the DD, and we're good to go. Yeah. Don't worry about that.
Dennis Heidenberg, I used to ask him in the summertime. He's Dennis is one of my best friends. And every summer, I was a heavier guy. I would always, because he was so honest. I don't know if it's the culture in German, like they don't get sarcasm, but I'd be like, Dennis, and I'd be working out too. I'm like, do you think I'm fat? And he would take his time and he would pinch me where I'm fat. He'd be like, a little bit right here. Right here.
But you remember?
Oh my God. I loved him for it.
Just a little bit.
Remember, Denny, like if you said.
And then he'd tell you what workout to do.
Yeah. He's always jacked, right? He was always like, he loved to lift.
Oh, yeah.
But if you just, it was so fun. I can't remember who did it first, but they'd be like, hey, give him shit. So I'd be like, hey, have you not lifted in a few weeks? Why? Why? Yeah. And I'm like, you just look a little leaner. No, are you serious? Nash, you serious? I'm like, well, I mean, you just don't look as, you know, as big.
He was one of those guys that had metabolism. High metabolism.
It was just funny.
And then he'd be upstairs for an extra 3 hours.
He would look fine. Obviously, he looked great. Course, yeah. But he, like, if you said that to him, he'd be like, why?
Yeah, he loved.
Why you say I haven't lifted in a few weeks? I'm like, oh, you just look leaner. No, I don't.
Just look skinny.
Yeah.
He did not like that.
Yeah.
If you call it was skinny, funny, man. Yeah. Then he started lying once he knew we were messing
with him. He was always trying to gain. I was always trying to cut. And we were best of friends in the summer. Slowest eater in the world. I remember that. Small esophagus. Sorry, Dennis. We're burying it.
Yeah, sorry,
Danny. One of the greatest actual teammates, though.
And
you know what? I want that guy around my any teammate, any hockey player, any time of the day.
I agree.
Because he is the epitome. Like, the things that bother Dennis are what, like, professional athletes need to be having bother them as well.
Yes.
Because he always wants to be healthy. He still trains. He still works out.
He looks great.
Just does all the right things. He's all-around good guy.
Yep.
Yeah, Dennis was fun here, man. I remember how much he trained in the summertime.
Were you here when he got hurt really bad when his with his leg?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Spiral, you talk about coming back from a – like, he that was bad. Someone – I remember it in camp, right?
Yeah.
It was in the crease. Someone fell, man. Oh, God, it was bad. But – he bounced back, won a Stanley Cup in Boston.
Yeah. He's a competitor.
Yeah, he's still a great guy. Great guy. Won with us, with the fans.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, forget about that. Jesus, we didn't mention him a few weeks ago when we were talking about that team, but with Kobe.
That's right.
I forgot about Dennis, didn't mention him, but yeah, great guy. You're right. Yeah, that's a guy you want around your kids, and I think that's kind of what he's doing with the Islanders.
Lou's got him locked up. Yeah.
There's a reason he's doing it. Yeah. So. He's good
What's
at
his
it.
Role there? Player development?
I believe he's doing player development.
Player development. He spends time with the players, yeah.
Yeah, and that's a guy you want. You want around your players, for sure.
Great attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Loved having him around.
Yeah, works hard.
Good hockey guy.
Great guy.
Back to the PhD.
You're welcome.
Spun all this stuff out.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The grit.
Yeah.
Oh, the PhD.
PhD.
Yeah. I like that line.
Yeah.
PhD. Hathaway. Paling.
He's the H. I think.
Hathaway.
I get confused.
Paling. Paling. Hathaway.
DeLorean. D-Lo. Yeah,
DeLorean.
D-Lo Brown.
Yeah, I love that line.
Yeah.
The PhD line.
Yeah.
One more question, Friggy. Other than Brink, because we talked about Brink, who else has impressed you? So far? I know we're only three games in. We got a lot of hockey to play, but.
Well, Sanheim and.
Yeah.
Yeager Zamula.
Yeah, big Z. Yeah, great
goal. They put
last
on
night.
20 pounds each.
Yeah.
And it's hard to believe, actually.
Not the 20 pounds that a guy like me puts on. Right. It's the right
kind. Yeah.
It's all muscle. And I found that out after camp started. And I'm like, dude, they're moving too well for that. Like, to put that amount of weight on is a lot over the summer if it's all muscle, but to be able to move still is what's impressed me. Sanheim has impressed me. Well, he's going to impress you anyways, but he's impressed me because the Torts decided to move him to the off wing, right, on D, the offhand, and it's supposed to, like, he loved it. Right, and he sees the offensive zone more. He's a little bit because he's open, right?
Yeah.
Right.
He can see the ice a bit better. That's a big adjustment to make for any D-man, for any forward, too, any position change like that. But I just love the way he's handled it, and plus he's skating well, too.
Oh, he can skate.
Yeah, Zamula is a guy that's impressed me, too. He's a lot similar to I don't know who to compare him to, but – he's just playing well.
Well,
right
he's
now.
Long.
He's playing
he can
well
skate.
Right now. He's long.
He's a pretty smart player.
Yeah.
You know, remember how we got him? Maxie invited him to a development camp. He was undrafted, and then we signed him.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's
great.
He's made his way up. I mean, there's a guy that, you know.
You love stories like that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So
he's a great kid too. I don't know if you got a chance to
and Brink
get to know him.
Brink has been a guy that's impressed me the whole camp. And obviously he's a guy that's trying to make it too, so he's got a little bit more of a magnifying glass on him, but no, he's rising above. He's a guy that I'm excited about, you know, how well he's doing.
Yeah.
And you know what? Kutz and Atkinson.
I was just going to ask you.
Cause like, a year off of this game, like, that's a long time.
Kutz Kutz hasn't scored a goal in almost 2 years.
You got one last night, baby.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
It was almost 2 years.
Yeah.
December of 2021 was the last time he scored.
Yeah, I got him beat.
Yeah.
And I was playing. No, but that's a long time away. Atkinson, too, and they're big injuries.
Yeah.
Like, that's not
beat around the bush. Those are big injuries. You want to see players come back from those, and they did, but they came back like almost fully healed. Like I don't see a misstep. Coots is, he's obviously engaged in every play. He's playing all big minutes, and it's just good to see. It's really good to see him back in the lineup, because that changes the dynamic of the team. And Atkinson too.
Lots talked about that last night, about how much of a just to have him around more.
Yeah, that leadership
in the room, and
a lot of good things. A lot of good bright spots. At the start of the year, we're like, you're looking through the lineup, you don't really know who a lot of these guys are, but you're going to know them soon. They're going to win you over. They're all going to work, right? I think that's the one thing Torch is pushing. Like, these guys are going to have to work. We're going to teach you to work here. And that's a Flyer thing. Like, Torch is good for that, because he does it well. Like, he preaches that well as a coach. It's going to fit here, right? You're going to have to be a worker if you come into Philly, regardless of who your coach is. If you're a player here, learn to work, because you can lose if you work. You know, you can – it's not – you never you want to accept losing, but if you're going to lose – in Philadelphia,
There's a way to lose.
There's a way to lose here. You know, you got to lose the right way. You got to make it hard on them, no matter what.
Yeah,
make sure that the team that comes into this town feels like they were in a hockey game, regardless. Right. And right now, rebuilding—that's a good message to have. You know, because the kids that develop here and stay here, they're going to see that fan base. You know what? Don't worry. Stick with it. They're going to hear that at the Wawa or at you know, going to get a cheesesteak somewhere in the city. Mm-hmm. The fans get behind you here, and they ain't afraid to say something to you.
Yeah.
So right.
Once that starts happening with these younger guys, and it still happens now, and if you don't get that, it's because you're not working, right? So I think that that's an element that'll always be here, and that's what I want to see continue to, right, is have that. And work, what I mean by work today is work is that tough brand of hockey. That's what it looks like. Yep. You know, speed and a hard-working team, that's intimidation now.
I think it is.
We've got to have that. We've got to have that in Philly. We've got to own that. If we're going to own a trait in hockey, it's going to be intimidation. So find a way it looks – whatever it looks like now, you know, find it in today's game and try to use it to your advantage, because they love it here. Philly loves that brand of hockey, that brand of athlete, that brand of sport. And they get behind you, and it makes a difference.
It does.
It makes a huge difference. Philly, like nowhere else. You look at the Phils right now, the Eagles, like everyone, even at the national stage, will say there's home ice advantage or there's home field advantage, and then there's Philly. Like, you hear that. Mm-hmm. Because it's our fan base. Yep. It's our fans. They're nuts. They're ours, and we love them, and you can't say anything about them. We appreciate that, and... Yeah, it's a good place to play. It's a good place to play, and hopefully the players see that quick here, because this is going to be one of the best places to play in the league, I think, you know, in coming years. And it's because, even look at the history of the Flyers. Like, we create good hockey people across the board. Hockey players go and they win somewhere else. Why? To shove it up our butts? No. It's because they're developed the right way here. Everybody loves getting a Flyer once they leave here. I was one of those guys. Everywhere I went, they were like, maybe I'll play that Flyer style, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, you okay? So they wanted that everywhere it went, right? And I understood what that was, you know? I learned it here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You as well. So that's something we got to own, you know, is that element of the game.
Yeah.
And it helps the game get better too.
Totally.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to get beaten and worn down like that. It'll make everybody else get a little bit tougher too. So
yeah, I think they're doing a good job of creating that foundation. I mean, as you know, right? I mean, top down leadership. Torts obviously implementing his philosophy, and it's Flyers hockey. I mean, there's no other way. I mean, I have a hard time believing anyone is gonna buy into any other type of system, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the ethos of what the Flyers stand for. So
yeah,
I think we talked about this last week, even going into the end of last season. It was just like, I think the Flyers are going to be better than most people give them credit for this year. You know, again, you mentioned Coots and Atkinson, but just obviously leadership and skill. But guys are working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're buying into a program that's legitimate. And I know we're only three games in here, but
right. Usually when we get really excited, let's
talk about the next game then.
right. Yeah, what were you going to ask him earlier about?
Well, we got Edmonton coming up, too.
Oilers coming in. Anybody to look out for, Bridget?
Gretzky used to play there back in the day. I think he might come into town just to watch him. I think he's still a fan of the team. Caught him a couple times. Connor McDavid, man.
He's all right.
Yeah.
Not bad.
We got a history.
What's the game
talking about? What's speed.
What's the pre-scout on old
Draisaitl?
Yeah.
Watch those guys. Yeah, keep them off the power play. Yeah, it'll be... Watching those guys, yeah, like especially Connor McDavid, he's a special player. Those feet move, man, and he is at another level when it comes to how he moves around on the ice. It is something to see. Yeah, come and watch that game. See if old Deli can shut those D'Lo can shut him down, huh?
Yeah, right.
That's a good thing. Like we can play against those guys, like that. Our fourth line. I hate calling it the fourth line. It's a shutdown line, right? It's an energy line. They're a tool, right? And they're a good tool, right? Like they can shut those guys like McDavid down and still produce too. Like if you're making a guy like McDavid play in his end. You're doing a good job. Yeah, you make them play defensively.
That's the ideal situation.
Yeah. And those guys have done a good job of that all year. So I'd like to see some of those matchups, you know, against McDavid, Draisaitl, because those guys are potent players and they got some young guys coming in too. And they got a couple big D men that are play a pretty snarly game. And I think it's Darnell Nurse plays, you know, with an edge. And, you know, we're all for that. We like that style here in Philly. So.
Yeah, for
sure. Should be a good game.
You're right, though. One thing with that team is you want to stay out of the box. Mm. I mean, their power play is pretty impressive. Not bad.
What's the game plan? You ask Torts in the morning?
Yeah, no, I don't. I try to stay out of those meetings. Like, I don't want to be a Torts. I'm a media guy now, so, like, I'm already walking on eggshells, like, around them because – I don't want to say the wrong thing and be and then have that happen to you.
Don't.
Like, have you ever, because if you ask me if I've ever been in a fight, I'll be like, yeah, I have. 350.
Brooksy. Brooksy. Don't be Brooksy.
No, he's not like that. I can see that. You know what? After meeting Torts and seeing, like, I think he's actually adapted a little bit over the past couple of years. And I don't think it's just been in Philly. Like, remember the old days he used to go at him? It was just...
You just loved to.
It was great.
I loved
great.
That. I loved listening to what he was
I was like,
say.
I like that guy, man. Yeah. Because you could hear that he's sticking up for the guys like a little bit. And you'd have to be a player to really know that, right? So it's the real deal. Like, he really does do that. And he does not like when you ask him questions that touch that realm of personal space. In the team, the locker room, he shouldn't be asking those questions. Like, I get where his angst comes from because it's hollowed information. It's personal information. It's coaching information, and you got to reserve some stuff. But
you just got to ask him tomorrow.
Yeah.
Torts, hey.
Yeah.
Who are we going with tonight? Who's in
that? I asked him one question in like a media interview.
Was it a
Timmy
question or
and
one
Jimmy
word?
Jackson. Well, I didn't even ask him anything. I just asked for a comment because what am I going to ask him? Like, I said Bobby Brink. And he goes, oh, I love him. And he just started talking. I didn't say he loved him. He goes, the kid's doing all the right things. You know, we asked for certain things and in camp and he's kind of pushing my hand. Like, I have to give what is shown to me, and you know, that's why I like it. It seems like it's an honest approach, an honest coach, and as a player you gotta love that. That's and I've always heard that about him. Is like, yeah, he's hard on the guys, and you may not like that, but at the end of the day he's fair. So, and we're playing a hard game. At some level you're going to be introduced to hard, son. You know where that is and how that happens. Who knows? But Torts has a certain way about it. So I like his approach, man. Yeah, I would like to play for him.
Yeah, I wonder how many media guys over the years, like, purposely.
Dread it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, though, that too, but, like, purposely. Like,
said something Larry Brooks to try to, like,
just, yeah, almost like, yeah, you go into
Larry Brooks was doing it every day.
Well, looking for a little battle, yeah, you know, knowing how he reacts. So you almost get a response out of
Brooksy,
him.
Brooksy, you ever been in a fight? Did you get beat up?
Yeah, who was that? Larry Brooks out of New York. Yeah.
What do you say? You must get beat up a lot when you're in school or something like that. No, actually, I didn't.
Toughest guy on the block.
Yeah, he's so tough. Larry from the block. Yeah,
but why poke the bear? Like, we're like that, you know what? Like, if you're gonna, you know, you're gonna get a response, and you know,
you know what?
You gotta respect the man.
They were buddies. It would have been great to find out their bodies.
Yeah, right. It was all staged. It was all staged. Yeah, right. Get the ratings up.
WWE.
Yeah.
I don't think it was.
No, you don't think so?
I don't think so. No. No.
Yeah.
But
the first days in camp, because I was going around the rink when it was announced that I'd be doing some of the broadcasting. I just want to go around and find out some of the people and some of the areas that you go to in media, right? So I was going, they were having the pressers upstairs at the skate zone, and it was the first time Joe Seville comes out. He announces who's coming, and he's like, Tortorella will be out in 5 minutes. And then it went really quiet in there, right? And I was like, oh, Hard Hearts, he was in there too.
Yeah.
So we were like, I'm like, you smell that, Hartsy? It smells like shit. Everybody in there was all media people.
Yeah.
And they were just probably, it got so quiet in there because they're like, oh, what's it going to be like this year? So it's true. It's true. The media guys are like, and some of them probably designed their questions to prompt that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but that's for the response. It's good entertainment.
Yeah,
but Torts ain't giving him nothing.
No, he's
way above it, man. He's looking at
it's almost like he's counting. You can see him going, oh, okay, count to 10.
Yeah.
You know, and then you should be in there with Torts doing some of your.
He's sitting on his meditation cushion before his media scrum. It's just so he doesn't become so reactive.
Oh, man.
No, he's good. He's good. Yeah, I haven't seen that from him here. And I don't think it would fly as much anymore. To really get engaged with that, it would do nothing but make you look a little bad. But
it does,
unless the reporter's really doing it, I would never fault him for going at the guys, you know, because Philly's probably one of the worst cities for it still. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be, you know, for sure.
Panache, remember Panache and Clarkie? Oh, come on, yeah, they would like, he'd be like, you just, we're not filming right now, but Panache would do it. Tim Panaccio, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then they hire him. That's right. And then he's supposed to be everybody's friend, right?
Well, that's what I mean.
I like Panache. I actually liked him because, I was on a different level than you guys, so he would make me laugh. I'd just fuck with him all the time. Yeah. But then when he was, like, working for the team after he buried the team for years, always had something to say.
It's a different dynamic.
It's like, what do you expect the guy? You think they like you?
Yeah.
Like, just because now you're working?
Yeah.
But they actually ended up liking him, and I think didn't Prongs used to fuck with him all the time? He was pretty good.
Yes.
Like, calling Tim. Because everybody else called him Panache, so he would call him Tim. Tim, come on now.
Yes, Tim.
Yeah.
I just give it to him. But
yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's a little different now.
A little different, Adam.
A little different.
So what is the game plan against Sil Jesus?
McJesus?
Jesus.
I think, shut him and Dreisy down.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's probably a good play.
Yeah. Probably the plan.
Who do you play against him?
Well, he said PhD.
Yeah? Is that what's happening?
I have no idea.
It sounded like you got the inside.
You should
too.
Ask Torrance.
That's my answer to everything. My answer to everything this year. What should we do about this? Well, there's a line that I'm got in my back pocket. Call them the PhD line. Put them out there. They'll do something.
They'll do something.
They will. They've done it all year. They've been together since the first day of camp.
Have they really?
Yeah. I don't know if Hathaway and Delorier have known each other or whatnot, but they're similar in style, I guess, and they understand. They've been around a bit. They understand the importance of that line. And then Poehling, I think, is
didn't he play with also with, picked up D'Lo? Am I wrong? Did they play together?
Before, there might be a connection. Montreal? We'll have to look into this. I'm going to look into this. I'll look.
I could be way off.
This is good, but they've been together since camp pretty much started, and they gelled right away. Chemistry's there, and they all know what their job is too, and it's to generate energy. And look, this is not just like, it's not a fourth line like it was.
Yeah,
like so, it's like that's why it's a label from. It's a strategy line, man. Like they're there to do a job, and they do it very good, all the time. Like I have not yet them see. Yeah. To a miss, like it's a simple straight north game, and if they get in the offensive zone, they're capable, very capable of generating some offense too. So, hopefully, that starts to happen for them.
Well, you're a D man going back. These two guys are coming.
Those guys,
especially
around.
Hathaway and D'Lo. Yeah. I mean, all of them, but Hathaway and D'Lo, like your head's on a swivel. That puck's dumped into your corner.
Yeah,
right, Fridge. Like,
yeah, they'll come to hit you too.
Yeah,
that's another thing I've noticed too. Is a lot. The hitting is picking up, I think, but it's not like guys aren't running people. It's just the forecheckers are faster, so they're on you, and they're using body to separate man from puck. Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah. I like that. You're going to wear down on guys. Guys are going to start throwing it away. Like, that's still an element.
Yeah, I don't think that's ever going to go away.
Yeah.
I hope it does.
It slid a little bit because the timing of it was like, keep your speed was kind of the thing. But it was
part of some of the philosophy around.
Yeah, but then it creates a different game. It does. It stops the puck movement. And I think what Torts was saying just in some interviews that he wants to make sure that they're not just, if they're running out of decisions with the puck, to just wheel it or rim it or send it around in the offensive zone. Make a decision with it. Make a 5-foot play. Do something with it other than that. Don't use that as default. And right. I think a lot of players over time got into that as default. Pass it around until something developed instead of hold it. Let's wait a little bit, and I think the players are doing that too now. You know, that's why Morgan Frost is going to be important. He can do those things. Bobby Brink can do those things. Coots is a smart, crafty little player.
Yeah, he is.
Like, those guys are going to be able to axe in, and next, like, Konechny's, you know, he's going to be able to do that stuff. They can hold the puck, and that's the differences in the game. I think that hitting happens and stopping that puck moving, setting up and stuff. It's actually more entertaining too.
Oh yeah,
like it is, because you're going in there, you know somebody's going to get a hit, you know. So the player has to get ready for it. Yeah, it's a different. I haven't seen a lot of it, you know, but I've seen a lot of it from the Flyers this year.
Yeah, it's
and
great.
It shows work.
Yeah, it does.
It tells everybody you're going to get this every night. They're going to hit you. Yeah. Not a lot of teams do. We're not a fast wheeling team, but they're going to hit you. It's going to be a hard night tonight. That's a good thing to have.
It's a really good thing.
You know, for any team, and I think Flyers can own that. I think they're going to own that this year.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, because everybody's doing it. You know, all four lines are kind of working in that approach. Even the skilled guys are doing those things. And that's all good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Be an exciting season. Are you playing the alumni game in January?
I think so. I think I got the call. Got to get a new set of wheels. Skates.
I know a guy. Sold a pair of mine. Still working on getting them back.
They're ordered. Relax. Jeez. You do need them, man.
I do.
Just looking at your skates the other day.
Yeah, they're rough.
They're in bad shape.
But you sold my pair, so.
Fridgy going to be using a Toby. We got to get a Toby in his hand for the game.
Did you snipe with the Toby last year? Or what did we play that?
Oh, is that the one with the waffle maker? The
Diamond Air Blade Diamond Technology, Air
Blade Diamond
man.
Air Blade.
Technology. Don't forget that part. That's how you buried. Ryle's buried first shift, one. I think.
Close hot sauce from Brash.
Little sauce from Brash. Fucking Litz come over like Bernie with the two-pad stack.
Oh, Riggs yeah. Boosh is going in.
Is he playing?
I think Boosh might be playing in it. Johnny's going to be playing in it. I don't know if they got E to come back for it.
Oh, yeah.
Kupal, I mean,
no, maybe Frankie the Animal will come playing. Well, how's that guy doing? He's still pouring concrete.
Oh yeah, he's doing well, man.
You're a good guy.
He's doing well. Oh. Yeah, he's awesome. Saw him a few weeks ago. So, Fridgy, we can't thank you enough, brother.
Yeah, man.
Congratulations, man. So happy for you. Proud of you. You're doing a great job so far, and it's really cool.
Thanks, guys. I'll always be a fan of the show, fan of you guys, man. It's fun to come on here and do this stuff.
Thank you, buddy.
We'll bring you on sooner than later.
Hell yeah.
4.0.
When we win it all, 4.0. Right?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
All right, thanks, Fridgy.
What do we do? Say bye?
Yeah.
Bye, everybody, Nasty Knuckles land.
Bye.
See ya.
A big thank you to the Fridge, Todd Fedor, for hopping on. What a beauty.
Great guy, good friend, great teammate. You were a teammate with him in juniors as well.
Junior hockey, American League, a little bit with the Fly Guys.
Yep. Awesome guy.
Still to this day, what a beauty.
Just into his new role, enjoying it, and he's doing a really good job, man. So it was nice getting him in.
Yeah.
Talking to the Fridge, he can always put a smile on her face.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
He's a goofball. Perfect job for him. You know, just obviously knows the game, but I think the most important asset he has is personality.
Yeah, he's great personality.
Funny as hell. Keeps things light, and I think he'll continue to get better at organically sneaking in his funniness. So
look forward to
hearing some outtakes. It's the season.
I hope they give us some outtakes. They can't have outtakes. It's live, baby.
We can record it.
Yeah. Oh, man. He's great.
All right.
Okay.
All right, we're ready here now. What do you got? It's that time.
Is it clear question time?
It is.
Well, you know who it's brought to you by.
Who?
Clear Rum.
Oh.
Go to clearrum.com. Nasty 2023 gives you 35% off of Ooh. Your order in PA. So get on it.
It's too bad you live in Jersey.
It doesn't matter. I drive over. And then I do it. I got a P.O. box. I got a P.O. box in P.A. That's how I do it.
You pay full price.
Nope. I get 35% off.
All right. I love it.
Get on it. It's the best going.
All right. Here we go, baller.
We got one from Dr. Brizgalov over on Twitter.
Dr. Briz.
Which player in Flyers history could drink the most clear rum in a weekend? And who would drink the most beers?
Wow. Clear rum. Who could drink the most clear rum?
Kyle Calder?
Kyle Calder was really good. Don't want to make him look bad, but he could put some stuff down. The Count, God rest his soul.
Yeah.
I remember him saying.
Put him back?
From the Madison Square Garden to the Spectrum back in the day on the bus, 24.
Whew.
And that
That's
ride.
Work.
Yeah, and Fridge, keep it down. I think Fridge may still be here because I'm still hearing him in my ear.
Bring it down.
Bring it down. I think the Count, although I wasn't in that era, but I had heard that some big guys, right? Like,
yep.
Could drink some beer. My boy Dustin Buffalo could put, he's holding the beer in his hand and that thing like disappears. But who could drink the most clear rum, Riggs? That you're thinking of.
That's a good question, Josh Grad.
I was gonna. He was in my back of my mind too. Grats. Sorry for partying.
Sorry for partying. He's sober now, but
yeah,
he could have put him back nicely.
He could put him back. That's a good answer. Let's go with Grats.
All right.
Yep. Good question,
Josh Grattan.
Yeah, but he doesn't drink anymore.
Yep. Drank enough for a few lifetimes.
He did. He did. Yeah. He'll tell you that too.
All right, we got one from Philadelphia Flyagram over on Instagram. How many jerseys do players typically wear each game? Is it just one, or are they swapped out each period to make them available for auctions and supplying companies like Upper Deck with game-used material?
So most goalies a few years ago that started wearing one a period. It's a funny story about Carter, his first game when he got called up for his first game. I go to take his jersey that he wore in the first period. We had a shutout through the first period, and I put another jersey, and he's like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "Well, you're gonna wear three tonight, and then that was one of the main reasons, but it was also for my gray, so they had right. three, and Flyers had one, whatever. Carter would get one because we'd usually give the player the jersey, but he didn't want to change because he was, I guess, superstitious. But a lot of the goalies always changed. A few players here and there. Nick Grossman was a guy that would wear three. Goody would wear three. Gudas, Radko Gudas.
That was his choice? That wasn't by design?
They just sweat so much, man. Right, it was just like the thing's drenched by the end of the period. And then there are nights where, for something like you said with the cards, they put pieces of the jersey in, they had certain dates, and it would be like, okay, by this day we need, five jerseys from Coots. So, I may give him a jersey. I'd try to do it all, within two games instead of, every game just to get it over with. So, that's how they kind of did it. Usually it was just goalies that would wear three, change every period. But like I said, some guys that sweat a lot. And then there's, special nights where everyone would wear a new jersey just for the game. Mm. It becomes a pain in the ass because, I used to have to alter the sleeves for some guys.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot of work.
And it's like, you're like, oh, shit, tonight we got to do all new jerseys. So, but anyway, that's a good question.
Yeah, really good question. I didn't have that problem with oversweating, 4 or 5 minutes a night.
Dude, let's not get this wrong. You were sweating because you're, because of everything you were on. Yeah, you were sweating.
I was sweating.
You just didn't change your jersey.
Yeah.
You just didn't change your jersey. Unless it ripped.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We got one last one, and it's a challenge.
Ooh.
This is from Cow Pies Hockey over on Twitter. When do you guys want to do a 4v4? Hollydell, Choice, both?
Well, Riggs.
I'm down anytime, anywhere, because I'm now ready to rock. 2 weeks in, two weeks in a row, I'm on
I'm now ready to rock.
Well, it's been 3 or 4 months that I've been laying dormant.
It has been.
Fresh.
Hey, guys, reach out. Send us a message. Tell us what you want to do.
4v4, I like it.
We'll put our team together. 4v4, that's a little different. Why would we just
well, it'd be probably full ice, wouldn't it?
I guess it would have to be. Yeah. Gives you lots of room, opens it up for you.
Opens it up.
Perfect for your game. Not so much mine.
No?
Well, if it's on a smaller rink, it's okay.
You're top of the circle, same type of guy.
You've seen the middies.
Yeah, I did.
They're the patience? They're terrible. There's patience just because my hands don't work properly.
Just freeze up.
freeze and somebody goes by me. It looks like I meant to do it.
Ultra present. Yeah. Ultra patient.
Oh, yeah. Super patient. Yeah, bring it on, Cal Poly University. What was it?
Cal Poly's hockey.
I'm kidding. Cal Poly's hockey. Yeah, that'd be awesome, man. That's
ready.
Cool.
We're ready.
Let's do it.
That's a wrap, Nast.
That's it?
That's it.
The challenge accepted.
Accepted.
Okay, Debo's ready. Debo said he's in.
Pins are ready.
Pins are ready.
Hip flexors and groins have healed from last week.
Yeah.
So.
All right, let's do it.
And that's a wrap. Episode 130 in the books. Be sure to subscribe, like, comment, ask a few questions. Until then, Until next week, stay safe, knuckleheads.
See ya.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.